Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guest is old friend Randy Moggins. Randy and I haven't talked in a while. Boy, what a difference a few years makes. The last time we talked was during the lockdowns, and we thought the world was topsy-turvy then. And fast forward to today, and we have so many different attack vectors from different directions. There seems to be a time compression aspect at work. Not just the confluence of events, but it just totally off the wall now. So I wanted Randy's perspective because he's always had a well-balanced, highly researched, and intuitive understanding of what's going on our world and beyond it. So without any further ado, old friend Randy, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. We're using a mobile setup here, so things are a little wonky, but we got on. Gremlins in the machine.
Yeah, we struggled for about 10, 15 minutes trying to get the audio to work and what have you. Had to log on, log off, and do that whole bit. But here we are, and that's all that matters. What I wanted to talk to you about, Randy, and feel free to take it any direction you want to go. People like Graham Hancock and others, they talk about a collective amnesia that has afflicted humanity, where we're ignorant about our own past. There's all these mysterious megaliths all over the planet, conveniently situated a lot of times over ley lines and vortex areas. Mainstream academia still doesn't know what to make of it, so they just debunk any suggestion that it's anything other than some big monument. We're facing a potential extinction level event. Like I said, a confluence of events. It seems to me, Randy, that humanity is under attack, and I've said for some time that this planet is run by non-human beings. And when one looks at it now, the food we're eating, the aerosol attack in the atmosphere, now directed energy weapons are frequently being used to start forest fires. And we've just been hit by Hurricane Milton, Hurricane Helene, and the possibility once again of dams being opened to flood huge areas. We've seen this before. So I just wanted your take on that, Randy, because this may be a chance, even though we're kind of late in the day, for that collective amnesia to start to be lifted, at least for some elements of society. Because sometimes I feel when we're pushed to the edge, we're almost forced to go deep within at a soul level to try to sort things out. Some people have a stoic kind of mentality about this. Okay, this is the cards we've dealt. Others are operating like in a fearful frenzy. So, just your take on the whole concept of the collective amnesia and the potential extinction level events we're seeing now.
Yeah, I didn't know that Graham Hancock had said that, but that's a real snapshot take on where we're at. The collective amnesia is a result of a number of things that have happened on this world over millennia. The collective amnesia has to do, of course, with what we've termed the Saturn Moon Matrix soul swapping and reincarnation looping that's gone on. That's probably been going on for well over 500,000 years. Who knows how many thousands of lifetimes we swapped in and out of and coming back into this place. And when we talk about this, it's interesting because the subtitle to my work that I'm doing, the research work and the book that maybe someday I'll eventually finish. You know how that goes. Book projects have a life of their own. The subtitle of that work, The Receivers, has the title, subtitle of The Great Remembering. And in a sense, what is happening, and this plays into all the convolution, all of the erratic behavior, the conflicts that we have right now that are escalating, and the sense that humanity is just falling apart is exactly what happens to an amnesia patient when they wake up from a long coma. If you think about the body politic of humanity as one presence, one being, which we are in some sense or another, because we're all formed from the same God, the same creator. So we're one entity, we're one being as a collective mass with a collective consciousness. That collective consciousness is in the process of waking up. And this is kind of like, imagine the trauma from a severe blow to the head, and you're waking up, and not only are you waking up, but you're in pain, and you don't know why you're in pain. And that's sort of where we're at as a collective entity. Humanity is in a state of massive trauma compounded by amnesia of not knowing who we are, what we are, and why we're here. And so, in the absence of a divine purpose, the purpose has been created for us to function to serve a non-human system. A non-human system is a result of what occurred probably about 500,000 years ago with the Anunnaki and went forward in time. When you talked about this, I call it a grid. You could call it a vortex. You could call it a matrix. You could call it any number of things. Like the matrix has been the most popular metaphor for it. But largely, we've been entrapped inside of a world with the prison guards themselves. And it's an interesting conversation. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine where I pointed out, I remember we had prison riots here back probably in the 90s. The state correctional institution near my house here had a huge, massive prison riot. And the guards themselves were locked in with the prisoners at that point in time. So when we talk about evil, we'll clarify that a little bit by saying that what we perceive as evil is actually not evil, and what the real evil is something invisible to us. It is the controlling force behind this matrix. And I'll just pause for a breath there.
That's a very good point, because the metaphor of this being a prison planet, and it's been brooded about. A colleague of mine and I were just talking about this the other day, the possibility that this planet has been a dumping ground for the arch villains and the most evil, wretched, demented entities in the cosmos, almost as if this planet was used as a form, as a sort of like Alcatraz, or that French penal colony that they showed in the movie Papillon, where even extremely hostile aliens, rapacious aliens, they put their dregs of society here. They get caught up in the reincarnational trap. And then, lifetime after lifetime, they begin to carve out their own niche based on their soul remembrance, if you will. So, if the natural tendency for them is to trend in a negative, hostile, oppressive direction, well, so be it. And it also echoes what Michael Dazarian talked about, how this seems to be a prison, but it also, to some degree, is a prison for the warders as well. It's like we're all just stuck here. And what's interesting now is they keep pushing the possibility of a nuclear war. They keep pushing the possibility of an expansion of just the ongoing wars, which may trend in a nuclear direction. So if that were to come about, Randy, that could only benefit an alien species, or species plural, that have no qualms or problems living in a highly radioactive environment. In fact, they may even prefer it that way. We know that a lot of these craft that they fly in around in, they have ionizing radiation. They emit ionizing radiation as a byproduct of the propulsion and navigation systems, et cetera. So clearly, radiation may not affect some of these alien races the way it does us. Point being is that that's another possibility that we're seeing, is that they keep trying to expand the war with in Ukraine. They keep trying to expand the war in the Middle East. We have all these terrorists trained from Pakistan, which is a nuclear-armed Islamic country, and because of the open border syndrome, who knows who knows what is coming in through the borders of America, armed with who knows what. So what we're seeing is like an all-out attack on humanity. And again, I think it's an opportunity for some people to kind of have a soul remembrance, if you will. Because, like I said, some people are taking this stoically, some people are running around in Chicken Little syndrome. We should be aware of what's going on, but I think that, balance and equilibrium is also what's called for.
People that are taking a neutral position right now are in a better position to navigate the next few years and what's coming. Actually, even the next few months, because we're in a critical window right now. We're in what my guides have told me is a crossover period. We get to choose which way we cross over. But once we cross over, there's no going back because it's all forward motion. As a race of people, we have been wired into a fear response for everything that is in play on the planet. So when you talk about, just on a low level, when we begin to go into the fears of nuclear war, when we begin to go into the fears of economic collapse, which, all of these things we're on the very grip of right now. We have to stop for a second and take an introspective look inside of ourselves rather than taking the view of the externalized view, which is the narrative that's being presented to us by the media. And by media, I include all the big tech companies and anybody that's communicating. There's just huge waves of fear going on. And again, we're talking about a populace that is under hypnosis, under conditions of amnesia, under conditions, as you pointed out, ionized radiation. I mean, the propagation of low-level ionized radiation via 5G and things like that are no small part in conditioning towards a world that would probably be electrified in a way that we can't imagine right now. In one century, we went from Tesla and Edison into the nuclear age, and we've never looked back. And now we're in this age of the hybrid electronics leading us towards AI. And that in itself does not bode well for the organic human. But we have to stop. We have to take stock of ourselves as a race and as an individual, and we have to redirect the fear energy into a positive place inside of us. And I'm not delivering some love and light message because that's not what this is about. But our only hope for survival was to turn this planet around, and we're very close. As a result of the things that happened between 2019 in 2023, and what went on with the pandemic, a lot more people woke up. Sometimes they don't even know they woke up. All they know is that they processed information that no longer conformed to a reality they understood. And in the process of that, the numbers sort of attrition out that for every 100 people that wake up to that reality, there's probably about maybe 20% that get to a place where they can go to the next level, which the next level is becoming soul aware, self-aware of the soul entity.
And the fact that some of us, I'm sure, have gone through incarnations where we faced and actually had undergone what seemed to be at the time an extinction level event, the fall of Atlantis, Lemuria, Younger Dryas impact event, onset of the Ice Age, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this planet and the solar system has been subject to celestially driven cataclysms. So there's almost a sense in some circles, I would probably classify myself in this category where, okay, batten down the hatches, rig for depth charging, here we go again, right? And
It's, yeah.
And there's no point bemoaning the fact that we're here. We have to be somewhere. And if we're going to be somewhere where we can make some kind of an impact or a difference, it might as well be here, right?
Well, that's part of the reason why we are here. At this point, the condition of the planet is such that trending towards what seems to be the inevitable from the standpoint of a fatalistic view, Earth is going to begin shutting it down herself. You want to deal with a force that's beyond alien reckoning. It is Mother Nature going, no, fuck no, we're not doing this anymore. We're shutting down. We're just not going to support life anymore. And in fact, this world has gone through four such extinction levels, some of them so far back in history that they're not reportable. But what my guides told me was that we've been through four extinction level events where the Earth basically shuts down and humanity goes into a very deep, long sleep in the netherworlds. In other words, humanity has no home at that point because the human organism was designed to live and thrive on this planet. And it goes further back than that in terms of what this planet actually was at one point, because it was a jewel. The reality that we live in now is highly occluded, very dirty version that has been overlaid by the evil that it's been presented to it. The evidence of that is in the very unfriendly nature, the unfriendly aspects in nature itself. It's like one day I asked the question, what exactly do we need mosquitoes for? That sort of thing. Why is nature hostile? Why is violence beset the natural world where in theory everything would be in harmony? And the answer is it was a contamination. It was a contamination of what happened to us as a result of a collapse that occurred eons ago, energetically. You would call it biblically what they call the fall of man from grace. It's more detailed than that, but it largely is still the result of something that happened to us collectively that resulted in a trauma impact upon the planet itself, and in fact, the entire galaxy. We basically became a war zone.
Comes up in the some of the information that's come from non-human sources. If one were to take information from, say, the alien interview, which is out there, has been around for a long time now, a woman who claimed to have been a nurse back at the time of Roswell was tasked with talking and basically interrogating an alien that survived the Roswell crash. And once she taught, it was suggested to her and the team to teach the alien English, right? And it was a really very fast learner. And eventually, at some point, the alien had learned enough English so telepathically it could give its version of what's been going on Earth. And it follows a similar pattern that we see in all these epics here on Earth, the Rig Veda, Mahabharata, the Norse epics of this conflict of the gods and men, right? And so what this particular alien talked about was this definitely is a species here on Earth that has suffered collective amnesia, that alien races have predated, preyed upon, if you will, this planet and its inhabitants for eons of time. And there may be something to it because this alien has suggested that it became a dumping ground for all the convicts and criminals throughout the cosmos and multiverse. They just seem to dump them off here and created this prison planet syndrome. And I think that a very blatant iteration of that we've seen in the recent past. I've been watching these videos of these women who've dug deep into the occultic, if you will, origins of feminism. And they trace it back to people like Annie Besant and others, the spiritualist of the early 20th, late 19th century. And it's interesting how so many of the Alice Bailey people like that, and it's interesting how so many of those people wound up having connections with the Lucis Trust. They had connections with the United Nations. And it's interesting how the information that comes from these beings that they're in contact with often is not, Randy. They encourage global governance. They encourage this like one world religion, one world government. When the Watchtower working was conducted by Dr. John Dee and Edward or Edmund Kelly, the same information seemed to come from the angels that they had summoned, that use the British Empire, use these trading corporations, the East India Trading Company, et cetera, to eventually take over the globe. So it doesn't come as a surprise to me that there would be that element at the very outset of the modern feminist movement. And then we fast forward to today, where we see these people, feminist, they're hardly feminine. Many of them are ennui infested. They're irrational, they're illogical. And that is almost, I don't know if it's an archetype or a stereotype, but it's an ideal that's been propped up. Kamala Harris is just the latest iteration of that. She has an appeal to countless women and males who've been raised by such women. And that's why she has such an appeal, because when they look at her, they're seeing an archetype reflected back to them, where we've gone from the past from women that express the true feminine divine principle to this weird, bizarre derivation of it. I'd like your thoughts on that as well, and then go in any direction you want, Randy.
Well, the historical backpins of the feminist movement, I mean, what a coincidence that at the turn of the 20th century, you have the rise of secret societies led by Blavatsky, Besant, and others. And at the same time, you have this women's movement beginning to foment. But behind all of it is still this division, this bifurcation that occurred much, much longer ago in our history. The bifurcation of the being as gendered male and female, and then the use of pitting them against each other rather than what they were supposed to be, which is one flesh. The Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, there is now neither male nor female, meaning the differences are laid aside. The Ultimate Feminist Manifesto is actually there if anybody had cared to look for it. The truth of the matter is that I'm not espousing a Christian doctrine here. I'm simply pointing out that these things have been in play for a long time. The recognition that we are split in our consciousness, in our gender roles, we're split in our politics, we're split in our economics. These are not by design. And what happens is that you have this whipsaw effect that happens when a movement is fomented, much like you had in the 70s with the women's liberation movement. We literally had women wearing man suits and burning bras, and basically this was a movement that was directed towards uber femininity, rather than realizing that the separation of the male and the female was the problem in the first place. That we are born individuated as souls in such a way that we procreate, something that was not necessary in the original creation of the earth, by the way. The collapse of the world, which goes back much, much deeper in time, resulted in all of the roots of this. I call it the apex predator. It's simply one designation for a number of different things, which includes, this field, this grid that we're living under, and then the fact that there is this energy that's been laced into the planet itself, that is a conduit for evil, that is a conduit for men's invisible intentions towards each other. And so there's a legitimacy to say that yes, a female in the workplace should be paid the same as a male. A man is not to be dominating over the woman. The woman's not supposed to dominate over the male either. In other words, there was a certain type of equality that eluded all of these movements so that we wound up with inequality. And now you've got a woman who's running for president who's, I mean, on top of the fact that the country's being run by a senile old man, this woman's not very bright. And she's not who she says she is. She's lied about her past. She's lied about the fact that even though she was born in the United States, she's legally allowed to run for president. She didn't grow up here. She grew up in Canada, where her mother was an academic, her father, who was a Marxist scholar. So all you have to do is listen to her speeches. She tells you who she is. She's a Marxist, just as is her running mate. And so the female is the way to embed this ideology, because obviously the United States hasn't had a female leader yet. And so the dominant thought behind Kamala Harris is, if nothing else, at least she's a woman. And then we blame the power structure on the males of the planet, the patriarchy, which there is a certain degree of truth to.
Toxic
You know,
masculinity is the is
toxic
the
masculinity, that's a term I absolutely despise. Nobody ever talks about toxic femininity, do they? Funny that. So we're kind of in this bifurcation of everything, James.
it is. And if you look at it, like when we watch a movie or we watch a play or something, there's an element of suspending our disbelief. Okay, this is a movie, this is a play, etc. When I look at Kamala Harris, I don't suspend my disbelief. That entity in the guise of a vice president cannot really be a vice president. The odds of Kamala Harris sitting in at high level briefings, being given high level intel about what's really going on in the world, the way George Bush Jr. Senior would have, for example, or Richard Nixon would have back in the day, that to me, I mean, the odds of that are slim and none. She's simply
Right,
put up
right.
there to be this magnet to attract all these irrational, illogical, hate-filled people. It's interesting that we have this. You talked about the bifurcation, Randy, but again, not to dwell too much on the potential, negativities and the potential extinction level events that may or may not play out. But you see the disconnect between all of the people that follow Biden slash Harris, Walt slash Harris. They're not even aware of all these issues that we're talking about. I'm just
No.
talking about the surface level issues. To them, it's all victim identity politics, hate the orange man, and that just seems to be their justification for everything. So the notion that this entity called Kamala Harris could be groomed to be the president, that just shows you the fractured nature of consciousness on this planet, that would even be plausible on any normal planet, which this is hardly a normal planet.
Kamala Harris was groomed from the very beginning. She was a promoted asset. She basically came back into California, went through the university system, and was picked up by Willie Brown. And Willie Brown groomed her and placed her into positions, a district attorney, then attorney general of the state of California. And then, of course, her was it Senate or House of Representatives? I don't remember which. But she, I believe, was very much groomed for this position, much like Barack Obama. Although lacking the substance of Barack Obama, who himself lacked a fair amount of substance, Barack Obama was very good at scolding the American people into submission. Kamala Harris is basically blowing smoke up your ass most of the time. That's her methodology, is to use word what they're calling word salad.
Yes,
She
word
doesn't
salad,
answer, she doesn't
gibberish.
use,
But
she doesn't have explanations for things. She just talks over everything. So she has some grasp of the English language, but it's all cognitively disconnected. And
it
this is
has an
Marxism,
appeal.
by the way. This is Marxism. This is
It
exactly
is,
what
it
the
is.
educational system through Marxism did to the ability to function cognitively. You and I kind of grew up in that middle period where there was still a glimmer left of the old school.
Yes.
But I can tell you that since the 80s and the 90s forward, most of the education that's gone on in the public schools, at least here in the United States, and as nearly as I can tell, most of the Western world, has been social programming.
Oh, absolutely,
So
to the point.
no wonder you now have the bathroom problem. No
Yes.
wonder you have transgender people playing, men playing women's sports. People can choose whatever they want to be when they're an adult. My quarrel isn't with quote transgender people per se. My quote is the indoctrination of children into something that's insidious,
Yes,
something,
absolutely.
we're biologically altering children. But first, before we're even doing that, there's an old example. There was in the tribes of South America a group called the Comprachicos. And what they would do is they would select children and they would put them as small children into these huge vases, these vessels, these clay vessels, and they would let them grow into it so that their bones deformed and their bodies deformed. And then when they got to be a certain age, they would crack the vessel open and the body had developed into this grotesque form. And it was a form of education, or I'm sorry, a form of entertainment for them. Now that's Machiavellian beyond anything we can imagine. But the fact of the matter is that on a mental level, that's exactly what we've done to generations now, probably almost three generations of children. We've socially conditioned them to accept the premise that to us seems irrational because their cognitive abilities have been rendered almost useless under Marxism.
I agree. What we're seeing now, and for some time actually, are college students and recently graduated college students who just endlessly regurgitate talking points. Everything has to have a highly emotive content. There are a great many college students today who cannot tell the time on an analog clock, and the college system just excretes them by the bushel, to quote, paraphrase from General George Patton. It just hordes of them come out of the college systems, and then they're groomed, and then they wind up because of diversity, equality, et cetera, DEI, they wind up in all these bureaucracies in all these key positions. So what we're seeing is this kind of idiocracy, but a communist version of idiocracy where you want to talk to a manager because something is not right. You somehow get past the chat bot customer service system and you can actually talk to a real human, but often is not. It's one of these irrational, over the top Kamala Harris type people, right? Women, for example. So they've encouraged, inculcated this mentality of irrationality. It's trendy, it's chic. It's an ideal, right? We saw this in the very beginning with the Jerry Springer show, where they would just pit people at each other, and the more irrational, the more illogical they were, I guess it made for better TV or what have you. Little did we know that that was just like a presaging, if you will, what was it to come down the pike, where you're not dealing with rational, logical people anymore. You're dealing with irrational, oftentimes entity-infested people. Everywhere you look, Randy, it's gaslighting at all levels of society now. to the point where all these Biden Harris Waltz followers, they're not even aware of the slightest current events which are directly impacting them, because they've been manipulated to channel all their emotions and all their rage at the Orange Man or anyone who supports the Orange Man. It's, I don't even know where to
The
go with
Orange
this.
Man's, well, the Orange Man is a straw man. The Orange Man is an effigy. Think, what was it? The Wicker Man. And in a sense, what has happened, and I have to say that Trump plays into this very well. He is everything that they accuse him of and more as an iconoclast. But that is the measure of Trump's success, is that he's exploited that for a long time. The ideologies on both sides have a lot of fault lines. On the other hand, one at worst will at least foster an intelligent conversation on issues over the next 4 years. The other one will be, quite frankly, brute force. Because if you think being kicked in the teeth with a boot by a man hurts, wait till you see what a woman with pointy heels can do. And I'm not saying that against women in general. I'm saying beware this particular species of the female, because she was bred to do this almost literally. I sometimes think now that it would be a much happier world if, and I've done this myself, I've defocused from the election here. I don't discuss it with people. I'll come on shows like this and talk about it because our audience is a little more mature and has the ability to sift through information that it would take us hours to dump out otherwise. So if I sit here and I talk about Donald Trump versus Harris, does that mean that I'm in favor of Donald Trump? And the answer is no. But I'm more in favor of the more rational approach to this, which is clearly evidenced by what Trump is advanced versus what Harris has not stipulated. In other words, part of her problem is not communicating, and part of her problem is that she has a hidden agenda. And she tips her hand every once in a while. I saw remarks she made that had a quote in it from Marx. I wish I would have saved it, but I didn't. But she is a complete Marxist. And so, from that standpoint alone, plus the fact that I feel that she's incompetent, I would have to veer to the side of Donald Trump if I was a voting person. And clearly, the rest of the world is sitting by right now, holding their breath over this, because we have Ukraine, Russia, and Gaza, Israel, all poised at the end of a nuclear weapon right now. And the United States has become the arms supplier for the world. Isn't that interesting? Beware the military-industrial complex, said the late President Eisenhower in his farewell address. And Washington said something similar as well. Beware of foreign entanglements. For the United States, those should have been cautionary words that were heeded more carefully, because we've done nothing for the last 70 years but mire ourselves in international entanglements. And if we're not actively fighting a war, then we're the weapons merchant for the people that we're, supporting. And by extension, if you're selling weapons that are killing people, you are part of a war. The weapons merchant is as guilty as the mercenary. Isn't it interesting? Even the commerce, it's right there. Mercenary commerce, all these words, they point back to those ancient cultures, and how commerce was used to divide us as well along economic classes, the haves and the have-nots.
Well, the New World Order has, the alien world order, as I would think of it, has hit people smack dab in the face in these affected areas, whether it's the wildfires, so-called, in Wyoming, whether it's Appalachia's Tennessee,
Hawaii.
North Carolina, Hawaii, right? People, I mean, people's needs basically are rather simple. They just want to live their life. They want to be able to make ends meet, right? I mean, because of this monetized debt system and this essentially communist, top-down oppression, over time, people have had to, be less and less ambitious as far as what they want to get out of their life, right? To the point now where they just want to be left alone. What little scraps they've got left over, they want to keep for themselves. But now, it's to the point, Randy, it blatantly, and it's again, it's that weird dichotomy bifurcation where you have all these people trying to help the victims of these geoengineered disasters. FEMA is obstructing them. FEMA is trying to stop them. The Biden-Harris-Waltz camp, completely oblivious. There's even videos of liberal Democrats gleefully talking about how happy they are that all these people in North Carolina and elsewhere are suffering the way they are. Oh, because they're racist anyway. Everything is a simplistic generalization with them. So the
It
normal
is
things that we've come to
simplistic.
expect, empathy, human compassion, it's not there. It's like we have all these different worlds running in parallel with each other.
Yeah. Well, it's convolution. You had said something earlier about, time. And I guess you've probably noticed that time doesn't make sense anymore, that we have these shifts that are going on and things have speeded up. And that's because time is a metric of consciousness, and consciousness is shifting. So as consciousness is shifting, there's this agitation in the field being the collective consciousness, which has been contaminated. There's alliteration there. Collective consciousness contaminated by the apex predator, by the alien influence. And it's like getting a jar of ants and shaking it up just to watch them all scramble. And in a sense, that's where humanity is right now. We are ants in the jar, and they're shaking the jar. But what's really shaking the jar is this consciousness awakening that's happening. And it's a spiritual awakening. It doesn't seem like it because you don't have a religious revival anymore. In fact, religion is practically dead in this world. But what's come into play is the individual is starting to begin, quietly to reflect on what it is they're experiencing in this world. And as we're seeing here in the United States and probably in the Western world, I don't know what the economies are like worldwide. I don't think they're much different. But here in the United States, the middle class is just being wiped out via this inflation rate. It's become absurd, to the point where they say it's the worst in 40 years. It's the worst ever because those prices are never going to go down again. The wages also are not going up, where people who, like me, are on fixed incomes are left to deal with the fact that our money just doesn't buy what it used to, and we have to lower our standards once again. So you have a beleaguered middle class. You have people who have lived through the nightmare of a gaslit, I'm going to be circumspect here, a gaslit event that precipitated lockdowns and precipitated all sorts of brutal antisocial policies, and that's what they were. There was no law behind any of this. These were all policies. And the collective consciousness is once again being shaken from the inside as well. So, when you see what looks like constant turmoil and chaos, that's exactly what it is because that's what it looks like. Again, we've got a traumatized body politic of humanity, deep in amnesia, waking up in trauma, hurting. That is the scale of this chaos that we're experiencing right now. And it's dumbfounding when you think about the level and the scale of confusion that's possible. It's amazing we can get up in the morning and manage to function through our days, really. And I'm not trying to be overly negative here. I think anybody that knows me and has watched my shows knows that I attempt to present positive outcomes. And I think hopefully we'll get to that at some point. But the good news is the bad news. The bad news is you've woken up, and the bad news is you hurt. And you can't fight when you're traumatized. There's no point in fighting anymore. But what you can do is bring to the table the invisible element, which is your own spiritual discernment.
People have had to make tough choices in the recent past because the way the system was set up, the medical protocols, which resulted in separation, death, what have you, people have had to make some tough choices. And I don't want to say people have become jaded, cynical, or just like mentally fatigued by all this. But now, when you scan, and you can't help but scan the mainstream, news outlets, because when you open a browser, there it is, right? Now they try to scare us with this pox, that pandemic, this bird flu, and it's like water off a duck's back, especially for those of us who could see right through what happened during the lockdowns, right? So it's like, oh, they're still trying that again. Now, sadly, it's still going to have an effect, predictable effect on a large swath of humanity, because trauma being what it is. They're going to go along with whatever the prevailing narrative is because that's their sense of security and sense of comfort. But at varying levels, people are waking up to the fact that things aren't quite right. And, in the time we got left in this first segment, I kind of want to, kind of redirect it kind of like in an ET direction, because I'd like to delve into some of that with you in the second segment. But to me, and I've had Jeff Brady on my show, and I'm satisfied with the information he's provided, the videos he's come up with. There is definitely a non-human element to the geoengineering aerosol spraying campaign that's been going on. These mysterious planes, pseudo planes, pop up all over the place, and what they've done is they've made the atmosphere highly, highly conductive. Heavy metals everywhere, the soils everywhere. So now when they activate these weather weapons, these seismic weapons, these scalar weapons, what have you, they already have a ready-made planetary electrical field to work with. Point being is that to me, that's where the twain meets. It's like you have these hybridized, energy-infested, hybridized humans, for the most part, tweaking the knobs for these weather weapons, what have you. But it's working in sync with this global, what I'm satisfied is, and this is just me talking, this aerosol spraying campaign is an alien agenda. So it's almost like that's where the twain meets, where even at a ground level in their secret remote locations or not so secret, they're tweaking their knobs, but it's acting upon the chemtrails that have been left. And these chemtrail sprayings have been reported down through the ages. I mean, there are medieval chronicles of craft flying around the atmosphere. William Bramley talks about this in Gods of Eden. It's chem spraying the skies way back then. So, and then to have, these super storms develop and all these wildfires develop, to me, humanity is definitely under attack. So, at a soul level, again, here's a silver lining. At the soul level, some people are going to say, you know what? This kind of feels familiar in some way. At some level, I feel like I've gone through this. I may not have survived the ordeal, but I went through it.
So, if I get where you're going with this, the basically the salting of the earth right now has been done to alter the electromagnetic properties of the atmosphere itself. Weather control is obviously one interesting subset of something that's a much larger agenda, which is to make the world a friendlier place for beings who grew up in high radioactive, high electromagnetic fields.
And
As
also,
you
just to
pointed
interject,
out, the craft.
Just to interject real quick, also the global dimming, because the permachemical haze is blocking out all this photonic energy from reaching the surface, that can only benefit subterranean entities that spend most of their time in darkness or in a twi or beings from a twilight kind of world where they don't have, like, the kind of sun that we have. So I would say that factors into it too, the whole global dimming aspect.
Well, even the changing of the sun itself. I'm sorry that we're not under the same sun we were under when you and I were, wearing our short breeches. And that's the result of highly advanced technological conveyances beyond what anybody's willing to admit. I mean, the funny thing about this argument is we're talking about irrationality so much, and the fact that, our kids grew up in this irrational academic stew. But yet these talk show hosts never invited any of us to come on and talk about the aliens, about the UAPs, the UFOs, about the phenomena in the sky, about abduction experiences, about my labs, about the fact that people have been pulled literally out of their bodies and sucked through a window and taken up into a craft, that their astral body has largely been abducted, that there are people walking around right now that don't have souls, that they are part of an experiment of soul swapping. The whole concept that, everything that walks on two legs is not human isn't lost on me. I've talked about this before. I remember it was Bob Dean that told me, you remember Bob Dean? Bob Dean told me that you could be sitting on an aircraft with one and you wouldn't know the difference because they're able to shapeshift, they're able to adapt to our form. And so therefore, most of what we understand about reality at a large scale is sort of moot point when you begin to discuss the ET, when you begin to discuss alien possession. And what possession exactly is that? What are demons? What are the demiurge? What are these gods, these ancient malevolent gods that we worshipped and followed? And that's the subject that we couldn't bring up on Jerry Springer.
At least now, in the recent past, with these faux congressional hearings, which we knew they were only going to go so far, we knew that it was going to be a limited hangout to some degree,
Exactly.
and we knew that it was also a rollout of people who would be recognized authority figures, seemingly rebels to the system, but also seemingly authority figures. They're never going to, I don't say this in any elitist sense, but they're never going to dive as deep as we will. I mean, they may talk in general terms about alien takeover, alien invasion, but getting down to the nitty-gritty of mass abductions and people taken into these underground processing plants, I don't think they're going to go in that direction. But I see as time goes on, the mask has come off, because what we're seeing, these chimeras of people who are so entity infested, so traumatized, and so indoctrinated. They're identifying as furries. They're identifying as the opposite gender. They're identifying everything under the sun, except the core human and soul being that they may, it probably started out as, right? So what we're seeing is this, the monsters from the id, Randy. And I've always felt that, the veils between worlds are becoming thin and almost
Yes,
porous to the
very
point
much
of,
so.
so that level of indoctrination is itself a means for these entities to come in. The medical protocols are a means for these entities to come in. People that have a genetic spiritual predisposition to entity, a malign entity influence and possession, that factors into it as well. So, yeah, any last thoughts before we end this first segment? I have been having an enjoyable conversation with you once again.
The distinction between what is the alien and what is the demon is too thin for us to cut. We'll just call it what it is. It is the apex predator. It is the enemy within. It's the enemy within our world. It's the enemy that came in and altered our world low many, many, many millennia ago and are still continuing to alter our world to the end of placing a small minority of humanity under their heels as basically slaves, if humanity exists at all. And they've warred against the earth because the earth is the ally of the organic human. And now we're in a place where we have a three-way war. We have man and earth versus the alien presence. And the only way out is in. The only way out is to deal with this from a very high spiritual level and understand that we're in a state of constant spiritual warfare. And we always have been. And the abductees that have spoken up, the people who were part of programs who have spoken up over the years, those aren't the people that got headline news. Those were the people that were swept to the side of the curb. So their warning was lost on a humanity that can't live up to the fact that they've been altered, that they're being altered, and that ultimately not only will they collapse, but the entire planet itself as well runs the risk of a collapse, and then henceforth, man has no home. That's a grim ending that I don't cede to personally.
Yes, because I think we can still turn this around. It's not going to take a huge swaths of humanity to do it. I think that, the overall tipping point will require much less very aware, integrated people, right? I'd rather run with one than be dragged down by 20, so to speak. You know what I mean? I hate to sound so calloused and, elitist, but I'm not trying to be. I'm just saying that, I mean, if you look around now, still, the percentage of people who've woken up to any aspect of this is still minimal compared to the overall population that survived, despite all the suddenlies and unexpectedlies of the last couple of years. So many people have departed this earthly plane through one malady or another, and it still hasn't registered. Even for the people in the medical field, it still hasn't registered what's taken place on their watch, on their protocols, what they've done. It just shows you the whole system has been hijacked. But the good news is more and more people are looking askance at all these institutions, the medical institution, the media, et cetera. More and more people are just saying, we're not getting the full story here. So anyhow, Randy, I'm sure people can find your site. Could you let the listeners know if they're not watching how they can find your work?
Yeah, offplanetradio.com is the main website. If you want what we put out as exclusives, you can go to patreon.com/RandyMoggins, and there's a subscriber thing there. It starts as low as $5 a month. I'm coming back from a very long illness and a hiatus, and new material will start populating those sites again. So feel free to support, but more than anything else, if you just want to see historically right now, the website is archival and there's a lot of great stuff there. The shelf life on the material that I think you and I and others like us do is very long
Yes.
and worth perusing even, after a decade or more. So offplanetradio.com is the website.
And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.